Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'm glad you could join us for our program today. And if you would like to follow along in your Bibles, for the last several weeks and today, I've been preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. And I'm going to finish that up today. The title of the message is Having the Mind of Christ. Having the Mind of Christ. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, parts of it, and then the last few verses there, beginning at verse 14. Having the mind of Christ. Do I have the mind of Christ? Well, salvation. Last week I preached on salvation full and free, the things freely given to a sinner saved by grace from God. All of salvation based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is His righteousness? Well, it's the entire merit of His obedience unto death as the surety and substitute of His people. In other words, everything that I am as a sinner saved by grace, everything that I think and say and do that is honoring to God in faith is the product of what Christ accomplished on the cross to establish righteousness for me. My sins were imputed, charged, accounted to Him, and He died for those sins. He paid my debt in full. He satisfied the justice of God. And His righteousness is imputed to me, charged, accounted to me, so that I stand before God justified, not by works of righteousness that I've done, not even by my believing. You know, there's a lot of people today who say, well, we're justified by faith. Well, to be justified by faith in the Bible means that I'm justified based on the righteousness of Christ. Now that's evidence. How do I know that I have His righteousness imputed to me? Put it this way. How do I know that I'm washed in His blood? We sing a hymn. Are you washed in the blood of Christ? The soul cleansing blood. How do I know that I'm washed in His blood? How do I know that I'm righteous before God in Him? When the Holy Spirit gives me life, spiritual life, under the preaching of the gospel, and brings me to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you know. Faith is not the cause of salvation. Faith is not the ground of salvation. Faith is not a condition I must meet in order to attain or maintain salvation. Faith is the fruit of God's grace given through Christ. It's one of the gifts of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. We read here in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And as I brought out last week, the natural man there, it refers to all of us by nature. We're all born spiritually dead. We looked at that over in Ephesians chapter 2. You who hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritual death is that which identifies the natural man. Well, what is spiritual death? Well, spiritual death is the absence of spiritual life. Now, what does that mean? Well, look here in verse 14. Look, he said, the things of the Spirit of God. Now, he'd already shown us back up in verse 12 that the things of the Spirit of God has to do with salvation for sinners, full and free, freely given, unconditionally, without a cause, through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, man doesn't want that by nature. It says here in verse 14, that he won't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually judged. That's what that means. So here's what I'm saying. For example, when you hear the gospel, I'm talking about the true gospel now, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed, Romans 1:16 and 17. And it shows how that all things in salvation, from beginning to final glory, is all conditioned on Christ and given to His people by His power and His grace. How do you react to that? Is it foolishness? That's the preaching of the cross. Paul said back up in verse 2, we preach Christ and Him crucified. Over in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. That word power there is ability. And it means this, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In other words, if you believe it, then that's the power of God. That's not your power. Preachers today, they preach that believing is in your power. It's not. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You have to be born again. You have to be made spiritual, spiritually alive. You see, the natural man is spiritually dead. That's the absence of spiritual life. That means this. That means he does not have a heart that desires the things of the glory of God in Christ. He has a heart. He desires things, but not that which honors God. He desires things that will leave him room to glory. That's what the natural man desires. In other words, give me some way I can boast. Tell me, you know, you hear preachers say all the time, say, well, salvation's of the Lord, but you must do this. Whatever it is you must do in order to attain or maintain salvation, that's what you glory in. If salvation is conditioned on your believing, as many preach it, then you can brag. You can say, well, I believed, and the rest of this mass didn't. That's the same as saying, well, I'm better than they are. Now, I know preachers will deny that, but you think about what I'm telling you. I believe the gospel. But I still don't have anything to brag about, because if God had left me to my own will, I would have refused. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And I can remember when I first heard the true gospel, I was raised in religion like most of you. I walked an aisle when I was somewhere around 12 or 13 and I got dunked in water. But I didn't, first of all, I wasn't hearing the true gospel and I didn't believe the true gospel. I did it because I just wanted to please people, the adults, some kind of rite of passage. But when I began to hear the true gospel, I rebelled. I didn't like it. I hated it. I judged it to be false. That's what it was foolish to me. But then one day God, in His sovereign mercy and grace and power, brought this old sinner down, just like Saul on the road to Damascus. You know, my old pastor used to say, when Saul was converted on the road to Damascus, you need to understand, he wasn't seeking the Lord. He wasn't on his way to a prayer meeting. He was on his way to arrest Christians, put them in jail. But God stopped him. And that's what God did with me. He stopped me on my road to perish. He stopped me and brought me to a saving knowledge of Christ. That's all a gift from God. He changed my will. Somebody asked me one time, said, do you believe that God brings people to Christ against their will? No, He changes their will. He said it in Jeremiah 31. He said, in Ezekiel 36, He said, I'll put my spirit within them. I'll give them a new heart. That's called the circumcised heart. So to be spiritually dead is the absence of spiritual life. And the only way you know that is through unbelief, ignorance and unbelief. That which God has that glorifies Him in the truth, wherein He is just to justify the ungodly based upon the shed blood and the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I never heard that before. Well, that's because it's what He said back here in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. You see, these things don't even occur to to the natural man. I'll never forget when I first heard the term imputed righteousness. Do you know imputed righteousness is the heart of the gospel? That's right. I'd never even heard it. And I'd been raised in religion. Well, what is imputed righteousness? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For God made Christ to be sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That's the great exchange wherein the sins of God's people were imputed. That word imputed means to reckon, to charge. You know what charge means? You ever gone to a store and charged anything? It means they put it on your account. You owe them that money. That's a debt. Well, my sin debt was charged to Christ by the Father. And Christ willingly took that debt upon Himself and came to this earth, and as my surety, He went to the cross, and as my substitute, He died in my place to satisfy the debt, to pay the debt. And out of that came His righteousness, which is charged to me. That's the heart of the gospel. I'm saved not because of anything in me, of me, from me, done by me. It's all in Christ. That's what that means, you see. Now, that's not entered into people's minds. And when it's preached, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. What is your judgment of this man? What is your value of it? But look at verse 15. He says, "But he that is spiritual." Now, who is the spiritual man there? That's the ones who are born again by the Spirit. They were chosen of God. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. I know people don't like this. But I'll tell you something. I mean, I'm not here to preach just what you like. I'm here to preach what God says. And I pray that He'll make you like it, because that's His way of dealing with His people. But see, here's the thing. The spiritual man, they are those who were chosen before the foundation of the world. They are those who are justified before God based on the righteousness of Christ established at the cross. They are those who are adopted into His family. They are those who are redeemed on the cross by His blood. And that is all known as they are regenerated, born again by the Holy Spirit. And how do you know they're born again by the Holy Spirit? Look at it. It says, "But the spiritual, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." When he says he himself is judged of no man, that's in line with what, for example, the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 3. When he says, "Now are we the sons of God," and that talking about believers, but he says, "The world will not know us." You know, the world really, now this is something I want you to see. The world really does not know what a Christian is. Now they think they do. And many people who call themselves Christian think that the world can discern that, but they can't. They know what they think is a Christian. They know what they think. That's what I wrote this book called "What Is a Christian? A Biblical Study of the One True Faith." The world will not know us. Christ told His disciples in John 15, verse 18, "Marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you." So you see, the world will not know a Christian. And then look over at John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 18 of John chapter 3. Now remember this. Here's the natural man. That's an unbeliever. That's a person who's spiritually dead. He will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. And then here's the spiritual man. He's the one who's been born again by the Spirit under the preaching of the gospel, and he believes in Christ as Christ is identified and distinguished in the Bible. Well, look at verse 18 of John 3. It says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's the natural man. He loves his deeds. He loves his decisions. He loves his religion. He loves his morality, and he will not repent of those things to turn to Christ and his righteousness alone for all salvation, the things that are freely given to his people of God. And when the gospel light of Christ exposes the natural man's deeds as being evil, now why are they evil? Because they deny the glory of God. Not because they're immoral in the eyes of men, but because they deny the glory of God. They deny the glory and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul said, if righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. They're evil because they're products of the pride of man and unbelief. And he says in verse 20 of John 3, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. That is, exposed, discovered. Here's a person who's doing their dead level best, let's say to keep the Ten Commandments, in order to be saved, in order to be righteous, trying to earn God's favor. The gospel light of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and His resurrection and His righteousness states out that that is evil in the sight of God. Now that's right. Now you think about that. All your works, all your efforts to obey God aimed at earning or gaining His favor or making you righteous is evil because they deny His glory. His glory is in Christ, the person and work of Christ. You want to please God? Look to Christ. Plead His righteousness. Plead His. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. Accepted in the beloved. Where is my acceptance before God? It's in Christ. And Him alone. 100% freely given of God. Now think about this. Think about the issue of prayer. I heard a preacher tell me one time, he said, well, I couldn't pray today because I just had a bad day. I lost my temper and all. Let me ask, what qualifies a child of God to pray to God? There's not but one thing. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through into the heaven. It's Christ. I don't have any right or any qualification or fitness to pray, to approach God, to worship, to praise Him, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. That's it. People today taking the Lord's Supper, they call it. Well, we take the Lord's Supper at our church, and it is the Lord's Supper. But they say, well, if you haven't taken care of sin in your life or some specific sin in your life, you're not qualified to take the Lord's Supper. And they'll go to 1 Corinthians 11 to try to pray. And that's not what those verses teach. My friend, the Lord's Supper is a testimony in symbol, the wine and the unleavened bread, that our only qualification to come to God is Christ and His blood and righteousness alone. If I've had a good week, I'm still not qualified in myself to take the Lord's Supper or to pray or to worship. If I've had a bad week, I'm not qualified. I'm qualified in Christ. Now, look back at John 3 there that we were studying. You see, the gospel exposes all that kind of legal thinking as evil. What is your refuge? You say, well, I made a decision back then. That's evil. I'm telling you that because your refuge has to be Christ right now, today, not what you did back then. Your refuge is not your baptism. Your refuge is not your decision. Your refuge is Christ if you're saved. So, verse 21 of John 3, he says, "But he that doeth truth," now this is the spiritual man, "cometh to the light." Now this is where we understand what he means by we have the mind of Christ, having the mind of Christ. He does truth, he comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. That means they're the work of God. What that means is what the, for example, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 states, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10 says, "For we," that's the spiritual man, "we," believers, "we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now back in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The mind of God. You know the mind of God. I can tell you where to find it. Right here in this book. This is God's revelation of himself to his people. And so if we're born again by the Spirit and we believe in Christ, we have the mind of Christ. Now, how do we have his mind? Does that mean I'm no longer a sinner? I no longer have sinful thoughts? No, I do. And you do too, if you're honest. What that means is we have his mind in two ways. Number one, we have his Spirit. All who are saved by the grace of God, who have received the things that God freely gives, all of salvation, they have the Spirit of God and they have the Word of God written on their heart. I know the gospel. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I have no hope of salvation. I quote one of my favorite hymns all the time. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I should be crying over my sins more than I do. But if I could cry a river of tears over my sins, that's not enough to wash away my sins, to cleanse me, to purge me, to pay my debt. The blood of Christ. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. "And this is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You see that? Freely given of God to him. That's the mind of Christ. That's the mind that glorifies him and honors him and follows him. If we're Christians, should we try to be the best people that we can be in every area? Charity and love, compassion, accept, all of that. Yes, but not in order to be saved, not in order to be righteous. If we're Christians, it's because we're already saved fully and freely by the grace of God, and we're already righteous in Christ. To realize that and know that by revelation of the Spirit of God means this. It means that the Spirit of God has given us life, brought us to faith in Christ and repentance, and we have the mind of Christ. That's what it is, having the mind of Christ. The natural man will not receive those things. They're foolishness to him. They're spiritually discerned, and he judges them as to be worthless. And some people will just look at it and they say, "Well, it really doesn't matter." Well, that's the natural man. But the spiritual man judges all things. He knows the value of these all things freely given. Doesn't mean he makes right judgments in every area of life. He may make a wrong judgment in work, in finances or in family or whatever. But in these areas of all things that are freely given, salvation full and free, he judges all things correct because he's judging by the mind of Christ, not the mind of man. He's judging by the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? That's the issue in all of this. When we talk about the preaching of the gospel, when we're talking about the sovereignty of God, when we're talking about the sinnerhood and depravity of man, when we're talking about the grace of God in salvation in Jesus Christ, the God-man, and based upon His finished, accomplished, redemptive work, it's all about what this book says. It's not about my opinion, your opinion, not about even our denomination or creeds or some confession that has been written years ago. It's all about God's Word, which reveals Christ. And that Bible, the God's Word, reveals the utter impossibility of any sinner attaining salvation or any part of it based on his works, his efforts. That's the Bible says that Christ alone is the ground, the source, and the power of all salvation. And our part as sinners saved by grace is to live as the fruit of God's grace. Christ said, I am the vine, you're the branches. Faith and repentance and obedience and endurance. This judgment that he's speaking of, the spiritual man, is all the fruit, the effect, the product of his grace, his power, and his love, which sent his son to be the propitiation for the sins of his people. The natural man receiveth those things not. The spiritual man receives those things by the power and the grace and the goodness and the glory of God. And even the faith that it takes to connect the spiritual man to Christ is a gift from God. It's not the power of his own decision or free will. It's the gift of God. Always remember that. God-given faith, God-given repentance, God-given perseverance, even unto glory. That's the mind of Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.